Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. All right. In January 2018, Thermasoft, a company that works in floor heating, conducted a survey about success in America. So they asked 2,000 people to explain what they thought making it in America looks like. Based on their responses, this is the description of a successful American. You ready? You're married. You have 2 kids. You have 4 close friends. You have a bachelor's degree. You get a salary of $147,000. You work 34 hours a week. Your commute time to work is 17 minutes. You work from home. Think about those two for a minute. I'm not sure how your commute time can be 17 minutes and you work from home, but whatever. You get 5.3 weeks of vacation. You can travel 3 times a year. The value of your house is $461,000. And your car is worth $41,000. I don't imagine many of us fit all of these categories. The people surveyed didn't even fit all these categories. For example, the average respondent earned only $57,000 a year, but they wanted $147,000. They got only 2.8 weeks of vacation, but they wanted 5.3. And their actual home value was $248,000, but they wanted one worth $461,000. All of this means that no matter how much we may fight against it, our American culture still says bigger is better. A bigger salary, more vacation time, and an expensive house all equal making it. They all equal success. But maybe you don't think that way. Maybe you don't measure your life by having the biggest things. Right? You're okay with your TV that doesn't look like a movie screen in your living room. You're okay with your car that didn't just come off the lot. You're okay with your basic house or your condo or your apartment. But I bet that you do still have other marks of success. And I imagine they change throughout your life. For example, a woman named Athena Pearl made a graphic that talked about different marks of success in our lives. She put it this way. At age 3, success is not peeing your pants. At age 16, success is having someone think you're attractive. At age 25, success is graduation and a wedding. At age 35, success is a career and a family. At age 55, success is graduation and a wedding for your children. At age 75, success is having someone think you're still attractive. And at age 90, success is not peeing your pants. No matter what it is, we all have things we'd like to achieve in order to say we've made it. But when Thermasoft did their little survey, it's clear that Jesus was not one of their respondents, because his answers about success look totally different. Just look at the gospel reading for today. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day. And the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." Now, I'll admit that I'm not much of a gardener. I can't identify a bunch of different plants. I often get perennial and annual mixed up. And I don't know the science behind good soil. But I do know that when you plant something, you don't just scatter seed on the ground and hope for the best. Right? That might work for putting grass seed on a bare patch, but it doesn't work with plants. After being married to a gardener for 10 years, I have learned a few things about gardening. Like, you have to get the right kind of dirt. You have to find plants that need a certain amount of sun. You have to dig holes that are so deep and so far apart for so many seeds. Basically, you've got to plan it out. But Jesus said the kingdom of God is like someone who just went out and scattered seed on the ground willy-nilly. There was no master plan to maximize the results. Instead, the gardener just threw out a bunch of seed and didn't lose any sleep over it. That does not sound very successful. I mean, think about the gardens that are magazine cover quality. It's because of all of the time and hard work that someone put into it, right? Then there are other gardens that have a few flowers, but not much. So it's there, but it's nothing special. And then there are gardens that are just full of weeds, because they've been abandoned or neglected. Kind of like people's lives. If you want to be successful, you've got to work hard at it. It's not just going to magically happen. Nobody's going to live your life for you. It's that whole Protestant work ethic thing. And yet, Jesus still uses this weird gardener with sloppy methods as a description for how God works? Yep. And Jesus says something else. With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. Now this is a more familiar parable to us, and it seems to support the idea that bigger means better. Right? This tiny little seed grows into a great big bush. Great. But there's two important things we need to notice here. First, mustard does not grow into a shrub. Long before you put it on your hot dog, it's an obnoxious weed. Think of it like dandelions. Or even better, like a virus. Some things you just do not want in your garden or in your life. All right, we try to get rid of weeds. We try to get rid of viruses because they take things over. That's why we've got weed killer and vaccinations. If we just let them go, they would be uncontrollable. So that's the first thing to notice here, that mustard is an uncontrollable weed. It's a virus that will take over the host. And second, in verse 27, we hear that the seed grows. But the Greek word for grow here is not about becoming big. Rather, it's about doing what it was designed to do. It's about fulfilling its purpose. So we could say that the kingdom of God is like a virus that can't be stopped, and its purpose is to take over the world. And even though we don't like weeds and viruses, this ever-present kingdom of God is still good news for us. I'll give you two reasons why. First, Carl Vaders, who is an advocate for small church ministry, once wrote a blog post asking if successful small church is an oxymoron. You know, like jumbo shrimp. At first he thought it wasn't, but then he saw the definition of oxymoron. It said, a figure of speech that juxtaposes elements that appear to be contradictory. Appear to be. In our culture, successful and small do appear to be contradictory, even though they really aren't. So yes, successful small church is an oxymoron. But that's okay. Because Jesus was all about oxymorons. He said things like, the humble will be exalted. The first will be last. The meek will inherit the earth. So successful small church may be an oxymoron, but successful and small are not opposites. In fact, successful small churches can still do what they were designed to do. Namely, the greatest commandment in the Great Commission. Love God, love neighbor, make disciples, baptize, and teach. And Vader's even put it this way. In every corner of the globe, alongside well-known, successful, and effective big churches, you'll find hundreds of thousands of virtually unknown but successful and effective small churches. People who gather to worship Jesus, care for each other, share the good news of grace and hope, restore broken lives, heal shattered marriages, rebuild crumbling communities, and more. We here at St. Paul Lutheran Church are one of those seeds that Jesus has scattered across this earth. Like seeds thrown out into a field, small churches are in practically every corner of this planet. Now, that's not to say there's anything inherently wrong with big churches. There isn't. They do good ministry and touch people's lives too. But the way small churches do ministry can surprise people. Because we can still change the world for Jesus too. And another good example of this seed at work is loving fathers. Right? I mean, today is Father's Day. And it's good to thank God for all of those dads who love their families and the world around them. Many of these dads will not be big names or successes in the eyes of the world. We will be virtually unknown. We will not meet all of those qualifications in the Thermosoft survey about successful Americans. But God has put loving dads in all corners of this world, like seeds scattered all over the place, so that God's love can take root and grow in the lives of others. Basically, there are dads who are doing what they were designed to do. Show love. So it's not about numbers. It's about growing love in the place where you are. That's something to be thankful for. So our culture may think that bigger is better and that means successful. But Jesus says that scattered seed that takes over the world is successful. That's how the kingdom of God works. That's how our life of faith works. Jesus turned this world right side up with his parables and with his life. And now he does so through us. As a congregation, as fathers, and simply as Christians. It turns out that the weird gardener with the sloppy methods knew exactly what he was doing. And that sounds very successful to me. And so in the name of the one who makes the seed work, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.